Thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so encouraged to know that God is using the ocean to impact your life through the ministry of the Word. Knowing that your life is being transformed is exactly why we exist. As our vision says, we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. So sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life through this message.
Loving the energy this morning, that this is how church is supposed to be like, you know, just excitement and energy. You know, church is not like, you know, it's not a funeral, you know, so we're supposed to be excited, we're supposed to be pumped up to hear the word of the Lord. And so let me just hear you guys say, Jesus!
Jesus!
Come on now, yes, Ocean Church, you guys are awesome. You know, first of all, I'm so glad that you guys are here this morning, because I know it's raining outside, it's raining heavily, you guys could have been at home sleeping right now, but you know, you guys were persistent, you pushed through and you're here. And you know what? It's the persistent people that make it to heaven. So you guys are all making it to heaven. You're making it to heaven, you're making it to heaven. You are all making it to heaven because y'all are persistent people. Y'all are right here while y'all could have been sleeping. You know, man, isn't God good? You know? So I'm excited this morning to just be able to bring the word of God to you. I believe this word, it's a seasonal word, and I think it's so relevant for this time. It's so relevant for this day, and I just pray that we'll all just be in tune, you know, that nobody's going to be falling asleep. Tell your neighbor, don't sleep.
Don't sleep.
Wake up.
Wake up.
Don't sleep.
Don't sleep.
Wake up.
Wake up.
Because this message is for all of us, you know, and we're not here to be spectators. We're here to engage. So I want everybody to just engage this morning. Be awake, be alert, because the Lord has something for you. Now, I'm going to start off by asking you guys just a very simple question. Is there anybody in here who is a movie lover? Is there anybody here who loves watching movies? Let me say by show of hands. You know, in your pastime, you just like love chilling and watching movies and whatnot. Yeah? Okay, so I guess I'm in good company. Good stuff. Oh, I see you, Miss Veronica. I see you. You know, I guess I'm in good company because I love watching movies. You know, I'm such a movie lover. And sometimes I call myself like a self-proclaimed movie maniac. And so, you know, I spend, you know, during my downtime at times, I just like, you know, to put on a little movie, just watch, you know, just like relax and whatnot. However, I must confess in this moment, much to my embarrassment, that I have not watched The Endgame yet. Yet, people, so do not judge me, okay? I am yet to watch it. I am gonna watch it, though, this week. I was kind of waiting for the hype to die down, because, you know, like right now when you go, it's like everybody, you know, is just like this, so it's just like so hectic. So I'm gonna go watch Endgame. But, you know, that does not take away the fact that I'm such a movie lover. Now, there's a movie, which is actually one of my favorite movies that I watched. It was released about 10 years ago. And it's a movie that stars Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman. It's called The Bucket List. Does anybody watch The Bucket List? Yeah, such a good movie, right? Really, really good movie, such an interesting story. And so for those of you who haven't watched that movie, let me just give you a brief premise of that story. So basically, there was this billionaire called Edward, who is played by Jack Nicholson. This guy meets this other guy called Carter, who was a mechanic played by Morgan Freeman. So these perfect strangers don't even know each other. Fate has it that they meet at the hospital where they both find out that they're terminally ill, that they're about to die because they both have cancer. Right? So now after finding out that they have cancer and that they only have 1 year to live, the two of them decide that, well, you know what? Let's take this 1 year to do all the things that we never had a chance to do. And so they created like a bucket list of the things that they'd wanted to do, but that they never got a chance to. And they were like, you know what? We're going to complete all of these things within this 1 year. And so now the two of them, you know, go off and they go to do all this cool and fun stuff and whatnot, you know, believing that these are the things that are most important, that are going to make them happy, you know, and it's going to be, you know, they're going to accomplish their life goals. But eventually, at the end of that journey, they then realize that some of these things that they were actually doing, as cool and as nice as they were, you know, they were not as important as things like relationship, family, and friends, and faith. And that's how, you know, it comes at the end of it all. And so watching that movie, it always brought me to this place where I would ask myself that if I had 1 year to live, what would I do with my 1 year? If you had a week to live, what would you do in that 1 week? If you had 24 hours to live, if you were told that by this time tomorrow, 10:21 a.m. Monday, you'll be dead, what would you do in this 24 hours? What would you do? What would you do with this time that you are given? You know, are you going to amass more wealth within this 24 hours? Are you going to try to make millions? Are you going to go skydiving? Are you going to go snorkeling? Are you going to go drive this, you know, fancy, crazy race cars? Like, what are you going to do within these 24 hours? Are you going to spend it with friends and family? What are you going to do with these 24 hours? And I think that that is such an important question that we all need to ask ourselves. That if I had only this short amount of time to live, what would I live for? How would I spend my time? How would I make good use of my time? Now, I'm curious to know. I wish this was like a small group where I could have actually handed out papers and just find out what people's bucket list would be. You know, it would just be so interesting to get to see people's different ideas. You know, but I just want you to ponder right now, like, what would you do if you knew you had only 24 hours to live? Ask your neighbor, what would you do? And wait for their response. Ask them, what would you do? What would you do? Okay, so somebody just shout me an answer. Like, you know, what did somebody say? Something that they would do? Sleeping. Really? Are you guys for real? You have 24 hours and all you can do is use it to sleep. Listen, you will sleep in heaven, okay? Like, why waste 24 hours? But anyways, I guess, you know, different strokes for different folks, and so I'm not gonna judge. You know, sleeping is your thing, so be it. Use it 24 hours to sleep. You know, but it's such an interesting question. You know, like, what are we going to do in the 24 hours that we've been given? You know, I think perhaps I would examine myself and I'll be like, okay, you know what, God, I need to confess my sins because I need to make sure that I make my way to heaven. You know, so I'm going to confess my sins, you know, God, whatever those things are, you know, let's just make it safe so that I can make it to heaven. You know, or perhaps it would be to spend time with my loved ones, you know, my siblings, my friends, and just make sure that I love them for the last time. You know, or maybe just resolve a certain broken relationships to make sure that I make everything right and set everything good before I leave. You know, and it's going to look different for different people, you know, and that is why I want you to ponder on this question. And even as we're going through this sermon, I want you to think about, like, what would I do? What would I really do with the 24 hours that I'm given? But of course, it does not take a genius to know that none of us would want to waste the 24 hours. That most of us will actually find something so important in our lives to do within those 24 hours so that we can live it with intentionality. We would not waste even 1 second of that time. Am I lying? But then again, if we know that to be true, then why do we always have to wait till the crunch time for us to begin doing the things that we're supposed to do? Why do we have to wait till we hear that we only have a week to live or a year to live to begin doing those things? Why don't we do those things now? Is it that we tend to forget that our life is fleeting? Is it that we tend to forget that our life is short? Like, why is it that we have to wait till when we're put in the position that we're told that, listen, you don't have more than 3 months to live to begin to then live our life to the fullest? And what's so interesting is that this is not just common to people who don't know Christ, but even Christians as well. You know, we tend to forget that our life is short. Yet, in our passage this morning, we get to hear from a very, very wise man, a very wise guy called David. In Psalm 39, we hear him actually asking God to remind him of how brief his time on earth is. So I'm going to ask you in this moment, could you please turn your Bibles to Psalm 39, because that's where we're going to be this morning. Psalm 39. We'll read from verse 4. So this is what David says in Psalm 39, verse 4 to 6. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. Imagine, this is like, what, your width of your hand. No longer. God, you've made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. Imagine how short a breath is. That's our whole entire lifetime in God's sight. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth is. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray this morning that, Lord, you will speak to us. Father, speak to our hearts this morning through this message. Lord, I pray that you'll begin to stir things in our heart, God, so that we can begin to live intentionally for you. God, I pray that you use me this morning. Father, may you speak through me. Holy Spirit, I submit myself under your authority. I submit my mind. I submit my thoughts. I submit my heart. I submit my speech to you. May you speak through me. And Lord, may no word that I'm going to say be wasted, Father, but let it plant a seed in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 Now, when I read Psalm 39, the first question that I asked myself was, why in the world would David see the need to ask God, like, show me how brief my life is? Like, why is that question necessary? Out of all the things that you could ask God, why ask God, show me how short my life is? Why is that necessary? But then upon doing further reflection, I came to understand this one truth, that David wrote this because he recognized that when we are reminded of the shortness of our life here on earth, in light of eternity, it changes our viewpoint about what we are doing here on earth with the time we've been given. When we choose to actually realize the shortness of our time here on earth in light of eternity, in the grand scheme of things, we'll then begin to become more intentional with what we do with our time here on earth because we realize that we don't have so much time here. Now, many of us, we commonly put things off for another day. You know, those important things that you're supposed to do, you put it off for another day. We keep saying that, yeah, I'll get to doing it. Like, yeah, God, I'll get to changing this. Yeah, God, I'll get to speaking to this person. And we do all of that as if we are so sure that we're going to be awake tomorrow. But David is saying that, Lord, I want you to show me, remind me how brief my time on earth will be so that I can know how to live it intentionally. And so the title of my sermon this morning is Make It Count. Now tell your neighbor, don't waste it. Make it count. Don't waste it. Make it count. Make your life count. Make your life matter. Make it count. Now just this week, I believe many of us here have probably heard the tragic news of the passing of one of Tanzania's prominent businessmen, Mr. Reginald Mengi. Now, I remember the moment I heard about his passing, I don't know him personally or anything like that, but the first thing that came to my mind was like, whoa, life is so short. That's the first thing that came to mind. I'm like, what, he's dead? I had no clue, you know, that he wasn't well or anything like that, but, you know, it's like he was here yesterday and he's gone today, you know? And in those moments, many of us, we also do have those same thoughts. Whenever we encounter a death, be it of a friend, you know, a family member, or somebody prominent, the first thought that comes to mind is like, God, life is so short. You know, like, man, I wish there was more time. You know, I wish I could have done more, et cetera, et cetera. You know, but these are questions that we ask ourselves each and every time. But many of us tend to think this question, we're like, God, life is so short. Like, oh my God, yeah, I need to maybe start living intentionally. And then tomorrow, we forget, and then we go back to business as usual. You know, we don't really take it to mind. It just ends there, and then we go on about our life as usual. But I want to ask you today, church, if you began to reflect on your own life, and you found out that probably you only have a short time or span to live, how would you live it? You know, would you live it intentionally, or would you waste that time? You know, it's good sometimes to when we experience such tragedies because they kind of remind us of the brevity of life. But then what do we do within that short period of time that we've been given here on earth? You know, it's such, we need to be reminded time and time and time again how short our life is so that we can wake up and begin living it intentionally. And it's for this very reason that even Moses said in Psalm 90 verse 12, that Lord, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Or in the NIV, it says, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Lord, I pray that you teach me to number my days so that I may gain a heart of wisdom. What Moses is basically saying is that God, teach me to realize how short this life is so that I may use this little time that I have left wisely. That I may use this little time I have left to live for you, to live purposely for you. And this is such a valid question because many of us, we tend to lose focus. Many of us, we tend to forget what's important and what's not. And sometimes we tend to prioritize the urgent over the important. We put off the important stuff for the urgent stuff. And as a result, we come to the end of our life and we come to realize that we never did the things that matter, the things that were important. So there is a first century philosopher named Epictetus who said it this way. This is our predicament. Over and over again, we lose sight of what is important and what isn't. Over and over again, we lose sight of what is important and what isn't. And I believe this to be true. Because part of our problem is that we tend to lose sight of the things that are important because we're so bombarded by so many other things. You know, we're bombarded by, you know, just the worldly pursuits. You know, just so many things. There's so many things that demand our attention and whatnot. And as a result, we lose sight of what's important. But I want us, church, today to begin becoming a people that actually prioritize the things that are important over the urgent. Because there are things that you and I are supposed to accomplish in this life here on earth that will require for you and I to be intentional and to use this time wisely. So my question to you this morning is, what are you doing with the time that you've been given? What are you prioritizing in this time that you are given? Are you living for the right things? Are you making the most of the opportunities that you've been given? Or do you let them slip by saying, you know what, maybe next time I'll get to doing it. Maybe next time. But how do you know that you're even going to wake up tomorrow? How do you know? How do I know that I'm even going to be alive tomorrow? How do I know that that person I was supposed to talk to is going to be there tomorrow? We need to stop putting things off, thinking that we're so guaranteed of tomorrow because we're not. And as a result, this is why even Apostle James tells us in the book of James chapter 4 from verse 13, he says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and poof, it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Basically, what James is saying is that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And so when we choose to put those things off, we're basically gambling. Because we don't know that we have tomorrow. You know, who assured you that you have tomorrow? I don't know. So many things happen to different people. You know, sometimes you hear that someone was fine in the morning and then they felt unwell in the evening and then tomorrow morning you hear they passed away. That's how much we're so uncertain about our lives. And so we need to live our lives for today and stop putting things off for tomorrow. So church, let us not be deceived in thinking that we have lots of remaining time. But yeah, you know what? I think probably I'll eventually give my life to Christ after a year. That's when I'll be ready. Are you sure you'll see a year? Oh, like, oh, yeah, you know what? I think I'll reach out to my brother or my sister probably in a week's time or 2 weeks' time. Are you sure they're going to be there in a week or two? You know, oh, no, you know, I think I'll begin making more time for my children, you know, after I finish this job, you know, perhaps after I retire in 20 years. How sure are you that you're going to be there in 20 years or they're going to still be alive in 20 years? You know, we tend to put things off as if we're guaranteed of tomorrow, but church, let us not be deceived. We need to begin to live today. Your 24 hours need to matter. How you live your life in this moment right now is so important. And that is why I believe we need to ask God to teach us to number our days. Because when we know that our days are numbered, when we know our days are short, we'll then begin living our life intentionally. We'll begin to reassess our lives and realign ourselves to the things that matter the most. And so the question this morning is then, how do we begin to reassess our lives? What can we do? How are we to go about this to begin to refocus our lives to the things that matter the most? Now, the first hint is this. One, we need to identify what is important. That's where you start. Start by identifying what's important. When you go home today, I want you to sit down, you know, find a journal, find a piece of paper, whatever it is, if you're gonna use your iPad or your phone, just sit down and start jotting down what is important. What actually is a priority? But here's the trick. I don't want you to write down what is important to you. I want you to sit down and ask yourself what is important to God. What is valuable to God? What does God care about most? Because that's what we are here to live for. We're here to live for God. And so the things that matter most are the things that matter most to God. So sit down and ask yourself what matters most to God? What's more important to God? And if you, by any chance, maybe will not get an answer and you don't know, let me just go ahead and help you out then. I'll just give you the answers already. So here are the things that matter most to God. First, it starts with the salvation of your life. God wants us to be saved. That's his number one priority for us. That's the one thing that matters the most to God. Forget everything else. Your salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but they shall have eternal life. Jesus didn't have to come and die for us. He didn't have to. He did it because he loved us. He did it because he knew the importance of us being saved. And so to God, that is the first and the most important thing in his list, for you and I to be saved. That is why Jesus had to endure that pain on the cross, so that you and I can get a chance to be saved, because that's what matters the most to God. Now that is followed by our relationships, your siblings, your marriage, your friends. How are you stewarding your relationships? Because you see, with God, he said his two commandments are this, his greatest commandments: love him, love people. Love God, love people. Vertical, horizontal. Love God, love people. You know, those are the things that matter the most to him. And so how are you stewarding your relationships? How are you stewarding your relationship with your friends, your siblings, whoever that is that God has put around you, that God has put into your life? Because those are the things that matter the most in this life. Do we make time for our loved ones? Do we show love to our people? Do we encourage them? Are we there for them? Like, how are we stewarding our relationships? And then the other one is stewarding your finances and your talents. That's also important to God, because God has given us gifts in talents, in skills, in finances, whatever, to be employed for his glory. And so how are we using that for the glory of God? How are we using those things to make sure that Jesus is glorified, to make sure that God is known? Those are the things that matter the most to God. So we need to identify what is important. And these are the things that are important. And you and I need to begin asking ourselves the question that, am I prioritizing any of these things? Do any of these things really come up at the top of my list? Or are they probably at the bottom, and on top of my list, there are all these pursuits, all these, things that I'm looking for. But these are the things that actually need to go to the top of your list, because these are the things that matter the most to God. And now the second thing that you need to begin to do in order to refocus and reassess and realign your life is to begin investing in the kingdom of God, because that matters to God. And you see, sometimes we tend to think that investing in the kingdom of God is just only in tithes and offerings, but it could be just even investing your time on somebody else. Because we're supposed to steward our time, our talents, and our treasure for the benefit of other people and for the glory of God. And so how are we investing our lives in other people's lives? This is how investing in the kingdom looks like. If God is going to ask you to render a service, an act of kindness, do it, because that's investing in the kingdom. If God is going to ask you to serve somebody or serve somewhere, do it, because that's investing in the kingdom of God. If God is going to ask you to give financially, do it, because that's investing in the kingdom of God. If God is going to ask you to encourage someone, be there for someone, do it, because that's investing in the kingdom of God. Those are the things that matter the most to God. Because church, let me tell you, how we live our lives here on earth, it matters a great deal in light of eternity. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, that you and I, that all believers, will come before the judgment seat of Christ, where we will all be held accountable for the things that we did here on this earth, and then we'll receive our due reward based off of how we lived here on earth. Basically, how you stewarded your talents, your opportunities, your use of your time, your relationships, all of that stuff, will all believers, every believer, will come before the judgment seat of Christ, and your work will be judged, and we will be held accountable for the things that we did here on this earth. Now, of course, if you're a believer, that you're definitely going to make it to you're going to go to heaven, yes, but you'll miss out on the eternal rewards. And so it is so important, church, that we live our lives intentionally, because it does matter. I think sometimes we forget and we think that, yeah, you know what, I can just live however, because it doesn't matter. As long as I make it to heaven, it's cool for me, And that could be fine for you. But then is that really the point? Because if that was the point, then I think the moment that you and I gave our lives to Christ and we were saved, God would have taken us to heaven and that would have been it. But he left us here so that we can begin to live intentionally to build his kingdom and to begin to represent him here. And so, church, we need to begin living intentionally for God. What matters to God the most is how you live your life, the life that is given you. the life that's given to you, you're not guaranteed for tomorrow. You're not guaranteed you're going to wake up tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to be around tomorrow. I don't know. So what matters is, what am I going to do today? With each waking day, when I wake up, I need to be like, okay, God, I am going to be intentional in how I live today. So Lord, help me to prioritize the things that are most important to you so that I can live a life that is actually fruitful and not a life that is careless and reckless. Of which then, this brings me to my final point, which is, what are you doing to make your life count? What are you doing to make your life count? How are you going to live your life differently after hearing this truth today? How is it going to change you? How is it going to challenge you? Because you know what? It's well and good to get knowledge, but knowledge without action, it's pointless. We need to apply the stuff that we're learning. We need to apply the truth that we're hearing. And so my question to you is, what are you going to do with the truth that you've heard here today? Because we need to start living our lives intentionally. Because church, let me tell you something. There is no greater pain than to die with deep regrets that you wasted your time, your talent, and energy just chasing rainbows. That's the deepest regret that all of us will ever have. That we wasted the time that we're given, we wasted the talents we were given, we wasted the treasure just chasing things that have no eternal value. So how are you making your life count today? We need to live like wise people. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, that we are to be careful how we live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? Because God, I want to live intentionally for you. God, I don't want to waste this 40 years. I don't want to waste this 10 years. I don't want to waste the next 30 years. God, I want to do the things that you want me to do. God, I want to do things in that matter in light of eternity. God, I want to invest in the kingdom of God today. God, you've given me a family. You've given me friends. Lord, I'm going to love them. I'm going to make sure that they know you, because God, that's what matters to you. God, I'm going to use my talents, you know, my skills, my abilities, oh God, to build the kingdom of God. God, I want to live intentionally for you. As of today, Jesus, I make a commitment to live intentionally for you, because that's what matters the most. We need to make that commitment. And this shouldn't be like just another message that you hear, but it should be something that should actually, I really pray that it convicts you, that it calls you to act, because church, it's relevant and it's important and it's necessary, because it's the truth. Because this is the truth. Your life matters. How you live your life here on earth, it matters. How I live my life here on earth matters. And honestly, even as I was preparing for the sermon, I had to start first by reflecting in my own life and ask myself these very questions, that God, am I living my life intentionally? Am I making my life count? And if I'm going to be honest, in that moment, I was like, God, truth be told, I don't. I don't live my life intentionally. I am not necessarily making it count. It had to start with me. I had to evaluate myself. And I was like, God, you know what? Truth is, I think I do misuse my time. I do waste my time sometimes. You know, I do misuse the opportunities that you've given me. And God, you know, I just want you to help me. And God can do that for us. And that's what I want you to understand today, that church, it's not all doom and gloom. You know, it's not all gone. It's not all wasted. We can begin today to live intentionally. Amen? Amen. And so I want us, even as we walk out of here today, to begin being intentional. And so I'm going to ask you again, church, what are you going to prioritize in your life now that you've heard this truth today? What are you going to do differently today in your life? What loose ends are you going to tie up? What relationships are you going to resolve? What decisions are you going to begin making to live a life that is intentional here on earth? Now, I want us to just bow our heads and close our eyes in this moment as we go into a moment of prayer. I want us to really just, in this moment, to just begin reflecting on our own lives. And begin really introspecting and asking ourselves that, Lord, am I really making my life count? That, Father, am I really living for you? That, Lord, am I really prioritizing the things that are important to you? Because, God, I don't know if I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I don't know if I'll be alive in a month, in a year. I do not know, and I don't need to know, because, God, what matters is the day that I'm given today. And so just begin asking yourself that, Lord, Lord, please search my heart and help me know how I'm misusing my life, how I'm wasting my life. And so in this time of prayer, I just want to take this opportunity to just pray for two sets of people. The first group of people is those people who are here. And in all honesty and in all transparency, they know that they've never had the chance to give their lives to Christ. But as I said earlier, this is the most important thing to God. And that nothing else matters in this life but our salvation. Jesus came and died so that we can be saved. And truth of the matter is, we're all going to die someday. But how we die is important. And we need to die in Christ, because when we die in Christ, then we get to go and spend eternity with Jesus. And so in this moment, I just want to offer an opportunity. It's so crucial. It's so crucial because we don't know. We're here today, gone tomorrow. And I don't want you to wait till tomorrow to make that decision. I want you to make that decision today, because we're not guaranteed of tomorrow. If so there's anybody in here this morning who knows in their hearts of hearts that they haven't had the chance to surrender their lives to Christ, that they haven't received Christ, they haven't given their lives to Christ, please be bold and courageous enough to just raise your hand. With every head bowed and every eye closed, please just raise your hand. Do not be afraid of anybody. Do not be ashamed. Do not be scared. This is not about anybody, but it's about you. It's about your future. It's about your life. If you are here today and you're like, God, you know what? I want to finally surrender my life to you and to secure my life in eternity. Please just raise your hand. I want you to raise it up high. Do not be afraid. Nobody's going to judge you. It's not about anybody else, but it's about you and God. This is about your life after here. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Anybody else in this moment? Thank you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. This is your moment. This is your time, because nothing else matters but this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, church, I want you all to just repeat this prayer with me. Let's just all pray together. Lord Jesus, I confess this morning that I am a sinner and I can't save myself. For too long, I have kept you out of my life. But today, Lord, I choose to surrender to you. Thank you, Jesus, for bearing my sins on the cross and giving me the gift of eternal life. I declare today that you, Jesus, are the Lord and Savior of my life. And I believe that you were raised from the dead. So I invite you in my heart today, Jesus. And I ask you to be my Savior. Thank you for loving me. It is in your great name we pray. Amen. Now, still with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray for the second group of people. Now, this second group of people is anybody and everybody in this room who, upon assessing themselves right now, they can honestly just come up front and say that, you know what, God, I have not been living intentionally for you. That, Father, I have not been prioritizing the things that are important to you. You know who you are. You know how you've lived your life. And so if that is you in this moment, I just want to ask you to just raise your hand right now. If that is you in this moment and you know in your hearts of hearts that you have not made your life count the way that God expects you to, that you have not lived with intentionality, if that is you, that you have not lived your life to the fullest, that you have not given God your all, just raise your hand. Do not be ashamed. Do not be afraid. It's not a judgmental moment, but rather this is just a moment where we all just confess and come together before the Lord. Because we all fall short, we all forget at times. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. So I'm just going to pray for all of you this morning. For everybody that raised their hand this morning, I'm just going to pray for you.
Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who raised their hands this morning. Lord, you see them. You know them by name. You know each individual, Jesus. I thank you, Father, for this moment where, God, they've come before you humbly, admitting that, God, they have not lived intentionally for you. Father, I thank you for your grace and for your mercy, because, Lord, your mercies are new every day. And so, Father, today it's a beginning of something new for each and every one of them. Father, I thank you that you are able to make all things new, and God, it starts today. And so, Father, I just pray that you begin to teach each and every one of them and all of us in here, Father, to number our days so that, Lord, we can gain a heart of wisdom. Holy Spirit, I pray that you give them your strength to be able to choose you and to choose the things that are important over all the other frivolous things. Holy Spirit, I ask you to guide them, to lead them, and to give them the courage to choose the important things in life. God, I just ask you to come alongside them as they walk with you each and every day, God, and guide them, Father, and help them to live an intentional life. Lord, I thank you because I know, Father, that you love them. I know, God, that they are alive in this moment, God, for such a moment as this where they can make this commitment and decision, God, to begin living intentionally for you. You are the God of second chances. You are a God who's merciful. And God, in this moment, I believe that you're giving all of us a second chance to do it again. And so, God, I just pray over each and every person here today, Father. I pray that, Lord, we will all begin to make our lives count. That, Father, we'll begin to prioritize you, to prioritize the things that matter to you. Because, God, we want to live well here on earth. So that when we meet you, Jesus, you can then tell us, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And so, God, teach us. Teach us to walk in your ways. Teach us to live our life for you each and every day. Strengthen us, oh God, because we cannot do it on our own. We've tried before to do it on our own, but Father, we failed. And so we ask you today to strengthen us and just lead us and guide us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being our helper because you're the one that helps us to walk and live in the way of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Church, I tell you, this is what's important. At the end of the day, this is what matters the most to God. And I would just like to take this opportunity to just let, you know, everyone know, those people who raised their hands, who gave their lives to Christ this morning, first of all, congratulations, because this is the best decision you've ever made. There is so much celebration in heaven right about now because of you and the decision that you made here today. And so we have our prayer partners outside who can pray with you at the end of the service. So feel free to stop by our prayer tent and meet up with our prayer partners, and they'll meet with you and just pray with you this morning. But this is the best decision of your life. And church, let's give it up one more time for our brothers and sisters who came to Christ this morning. This is why we do church. This is why the church exists, to lead people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what we're about. Church, have a good morning and have a great Sunday.